Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Welcome to NBA Today, presented by American Express.
Coming up on NBA Today, a devastating night for Miami. We have the very latest on Jimmy Butler's injury, and if this means the end for the Miami Heat, at least as currently constructed. And as Philly eked out a win to face New York, Perk, Austin, they pick their 1As, Embiid or Brunson. Maybe I should get Becky on the phone for this one. Plus, we have two stars stopping by today, Anthony Edwards, Tyrese Haliburton, how they're preparing for a deep postseason run. NBA Today starts right now. Welcome to NBA Today, presented by American Express. I'm Malika Andrews. Austin Rivers, Kendrick Perkins are going to be beaming in momentarily. But we have a goal for this show today. Our goal is that we're going to cover every single remaining team in some capacity. You ready? Because we're going to start in Philadelphia. There was a mid-April heat wave in the city of brotherly love last night with Jimmy Butler and company in town. Joel Embiid, Jimmy getting set for this one. In the first, the Heat down 16-10. Joel Embiid facing up Caleb Martin. Watch this. He runs out here to double Joel Embiid. Jimmy Butler is lurking on this one. Cookies gets the steal and goes ahead and throws it down. 7 seconds left in the first quarter. The Heat up 22-20. Off the Tyrese Maxey make. Kevin Love, full court pass here ahead to Jimmy Butler, who tries to throw it down. He lands awkwardly here, though. Butler's on the ground, clearly in a lot of pain here. Eric Spoelstra is concerned, Alonzo Mourning, Pat Riley, but Butler, he would play on. So going ahead to the fourth quarter here, the 76ers up 79-78. Buddy Hield, he finds Nicholas Batum in the corner for three. I don't know if this was the chicken nugget game. The crowd got really excited for that, or the Nicholas Batum game, because he went 6 of 10 from three. But Joel Embiid showing up when the Sixers need it the most, and he knows. He was thrilled to knock that down. A few possessions later, the 76ers. Joel Embiid getting the offensive rebound and putting it back. Then 40 seconds left, tied at 96. Embiid finds Kelly Oubre for the and one. And then 30 seconds left, the Heat down 99-96. Tyler Hero looking for the tie, but he's blocked by Batum. Batum had 20 points in this contest. Embiid, 23 points, 15 rebounds. Butler, 19 points, 5 assists, 5 steals. So with the 76ers win, the East playoff bracket is now just about complete. We know the 76ers will be taking on the 7th seeded. They will be the 7th seed, rather, to face the New York Knicks. And the Heat, meanwhile, they will host the Bulls, with the winner moving on to face the Celtics as the 8th seed. We're going to get an update on the health of Jimmy Butler in just a minute here. But Austin, Kendrick Perkins has been adamant that Joel Embiid should not have come back unless he was 100%. I was watching him last night and I just kept thinking, man, he doesn't seem to have the burst. He doesn't seem to have the lift. And if he hadn't made those two big threes down the stretch, we might be having a very different conversation today. Does he look right to you?
He definitely doesn't look 100%, to your point, Malika. And I'll even add on, if Nicholas Batum didn't have a great game, I don't even think Philly's season would, essentially be a lot different. They would be obviously playing, was it tomorrow night? So, right. Listen, I have a huge amount of respect for this guy coming back. He wanted to play. A lot of people said he wasn't going to come back. There was no need for him to come back. You got to admire a competitor and an MVP caliber player, a former MVP winner, and probably would have won this year if he hadn't missed so many games, wanting to play and perform and help his team. We always rave about stars sitting out, and here we have a guy playing through injuries, which is admirable. With that being said, if you're asking me, does he look 100%? The answer is no. We saw, last game, he was hobbling towards the back end of the game. He was struggling. Really, just you could see his explosion, his trust in his footwork, the way he was running up and down the floor. It looked like he was laboring that injury. So you start asking yourself if it was hard for him to managed through a play-in game. What expectations are there for him to be playing through an entire series, and not just versus anybody, but perhaps the most physical team in the Eastern Conference, let alone the NBA, the New York Knicks, and a defensive-minded coach Tom Thibodeau, who's going to be throwing a plethora of schemes to slow him down and guard him. You know, and this isn't the guy they throw the ball to every once in a while or every other two plays. Joel Embiid touches the ball every single time he touches down the floor. And that is by design, because without him, they don't have a chance of winning. Just like Miami's chances without Jimmy, he's even more essential to Philly. This is the MVP we're talking about here. Him and Maxey are the show, but he is the star. He is the Batman in that Robin duo. And you need a healthy him. And in my eyes, I wanted him to kind of go into the offseason, get fully healthy, no rush, give Maxey and all these guys more experience in the playoffs without him. And then they come back next year with an addition player because we know they have cap space. I thought Philly was one of those teams, as we all talked about, Malika, them being a really realistic contending team, whereas right now we're like seeing them limp into the playoffs with Joel Embiid not being 100%. It's very dangerous. So you start asking the risk-reward here. What are we doing?
Right, particularly when you start looking at the next round and looking at someone like Jalen Brunson, who is so good at driving to the basket. And it sounds crazy, but you might need even more than what Joel Embiid provides on offense, his ability to be there in the paint and be able to stop Jalen Brunson if he doesn't have that burst. That's going to be concerning. And you know, you and I saw this, right, Austin, on TV. Tim Bontemps, you were actually in the building for this game yesterday. What did you see from Joel Embiid up close?
I saw a star in Joel Embiid and a team in the Philadelphia 76ers that was going through the trauma of what's gone on in that building at the Wells Fargo Center the past 3 years. This is a place where in Game 7 3 years ago, the Sixers blew a chance to go to the conference finals and lost that game to the Hawks when Ben Simmons obviously infamously passed up that dunk late in the game. 2 years ago, they played the same Miami Heat in Game 6 in their building, saw their season end there. Last year, Game 6 against the Celtics, they're up. Same situation as last night. 6 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. They have a lead. They've got a chance to go to the conference finals again. What do? They fall apart down the stretch. Joel Embiid doesn't get the ball. The Sixers don't win. They get routed in game 7. You guys are talking about, well, what if they didn't get the Nick Batum performance? What if they didn't get the Joel Embiid shots? Yeah. They got the plays down the stretch in that game. This is the thing that everybody's waited for the Sixers to do for a long time. And in being in the building last night, seeing the emotion and the intensity and the physicality of that game, there was a coach who texted me in the second half early in the third quarter and said, this feels like a game 7. And it felt like a game 7 being there for the way both teams attacked that game for all the reasons you guys are hinting around,
right,
which is that the winner of that game has a clear path to the East Finals, and the loser of that game either goes home tomorrow if they don't beat Chicago, or they're staring a 1-8 matchup in the face against the Boston Celtics less than 48 hours later, and that is going to be an incredibly tall order for anybody to win.
Oh,
so certainly the game played out like both those teams knew what was at stake. And I thought for me, with the trauma the Sixers have gone through, that's not a game I'm not sure they win the last couple of years. And for them to pull it out down the stretch, and for Joel Embiid to make several big shots, to make that pass to Kelly Oubre out of the double team, to get it done down the stretch, I thought that mattered a lot more than what happened the first 3.5 quarters. And to me, it sets them up very nicely for this Knicks series, which is going to be incredibly physical, incredibly intense. But the Sixers got through the fire. They won that game, and I think it gave them a ton of confidence to come up big in moments they have simply, frankly, not done so in the past.
Well, and we should point out, Tim, that Joel Embiid, he did play 38 minutes. It's the most he's played since he came back from injury, so that should say at least something. But you mentioned this matchup now that the Heat have with the Chicago Bulls, because just because they lost, their season is not over. They do have one more shot. But Jimmy Butler is likely out, right, with his MCL injury. So what does this mean for Jimmy Butler and the Heat?
Well, it means, Malika, that there's slim chances of repeating their miracle run from the 8th seed to the NBA Finals last year have just gotten that much slimmer, right? Obviously, it was going to be an incredibly tall order for Miami, not just to beat the Chicago team, which, by the way, saw Coby White go for 42 last night and smoked the Hawks and has played well down the stretch. Not only do they have to win that game, they then have to go to Boston and, again, less than 48 hours later, start that series against a Celtics team that has spent the last 2 months tuning up for the playoffs. So obviously with no Jimmy, it's going to require a ton more from Tyler Hero. He struggled last night, had 25 points, but took 27 shots. They're going to need a lot from Bam Adebayo. We'll see if Duncan Robinson can play. He didn't play last night, though he was available with a recent back issue. But as we all know, the Heat ride with how Jimmy Butler carries them. And right now it does not look great for his chances to play in this game on Friday night.
Jimmy Butler is the heart and soul of this Miami Heat team. And without Terry Rozier as well, he's missed the last five straight games. We're not exactly sure when he is going to be able to return. It just feels like the Heat may not have enough. Tim Bontemps, thank you so very much for those updates. Given all of that, Austin, I want to bring you back here. Do you think that we talk about the magic of Miami, that they're able to make these playoff runs that are completely improbable over and over and over again. But has the magic run out? If they lose this game, are they going to need to reconsider whether or not this is their roster for the future?
Yeah, you know, without Jimmy, this team just doesn't have really a strong chance or even a fighting chance of making any of that. You know, if we're talking about last year, the run that they made, you know, Jimmy is the guy. He is the engine to their train. He is the head of the snake. However you want to write it, put it, phrase it, that is him. He's also the guy that they play through heavily down the stretch and is the soul of this team, too, in terms of just the temperament and the vocal leader. So not having him out there on the floor, just from the standpoint of not even his offense to just his leadership alone, it's vital for their success. When we talk about the points of Miami, you know, we say Bam and Hero and all those other guys, but we start with Spo and we start with Jimmy.
Yeah.
And without Jimmy there, it's going to be very difficult for them to beat an Atlanta team. I do think it's possible because they are the next man
Chicago,
up mentality.
Yeah.
They just grit and grind and figure it out. Chicago. So they have those chances. But with that being said, if we're talking playoffs, they would be a very, very likable, easy bout. For the team that's awaiting them, which we all know. So it's, I just don't see it happening. I feel bad, man, just because you want to see this team run.
Absolutely.
And see if they could do a run like that. And Jimmy's such a great player that you hate to see it happen.
Right.
But, it doesn't look good.
It still is kind of amazing to me that he played the rest of the game, knowing now that he's going to be out likely for several weeks. It just speaks to who Jimmy is. But as you mentioned, now the Miami Heat, without Jimmy Butler, they have a date with the Chicago Bulls. And here is how that happened. It happened because of Coby White. I know the play-in stats don't count. Well, they should when they are this good. DeMar DeRozan was turning back the clock in this one as well. Huge block there from Ayo Dosunmu on DeAndre Hunter. DeRozan gets the ball. Oh, and throws it down. Austin, did you know we still have that?
Hey, listen, man, after that little 360 pass, you knew we had something left in the tank.
Right. The Hawks. DeJounte Murray, though, he was doing everything he could for this team.
Hey, listen, he's been balling. He is the reason why they've turned things around as of late. Oh, my God. Spin me one more time.
Spin move there from Coby White. The Bulls up big, 101-87. Going ahead to the fourth quarter here, under 7 minutes to go. The Bulls up by 18. White again knocks down the three. He ties his career high with 37 points there. Give me some hot sauce, Coby, the fans say. The Bulls up 21, 5 minutes left. White, just one more for the road. He finished with a career high. Yes, I'm going to keep calling it that. The Bulls win 131-116. Hey, I'm not mad at that. They face the Heat on Friday for the eighth seed. But it may not matter to the Celtics who they face in the first round. They're 3-0 against both the Heat and the Bulls this season. They've beat both teams by a comfortable margin here. So the Celtics, they wait, at least for now. Coming up on NBA Today, we have two very special guests stopping by today, Tyrese Haliburton and Anthony Edwards, exclusive interviews as they enter the playoffs. And we learned something new about Austin Rivers, his former teammate, Phil. Plus, to say that the Lakers, they're underdogs against the Nuggets is an understatement. So how LeBron can overcome his biggest challenge since coming to Los Angeles. And Perk already knows who's going to win the Sixers-Knicks matchup. But we're going to tell you in how many games. We're going to gaze into his crystal ball. You're watching NBA Today.
Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Is presented by the powerful backing of American Express.
Halliburton off the bounce, drives inside, layup is good. Sensational move from Tyrese Halliburton.
I just want to prove that's not a fluke. We can do this every night.
Halliburton tries another three. Bang! Tyrese Halliburton from downtown.
I know what time it is.
Be humble when you having your moments, because you just never know how the tables turn and when they're going to turn.
Yeah!
Well, I'm just going to say, Tyrese Halliburton, he continued to have his moments. The Pacers' in-season tournament win over the Bucks was just one of their four victories against Milwaukee this season, and all they were high-scoring affairs. The Pacers scored at least 120 in every game of theirs this season. Tyrese Halliburton, he led the way with 27 points, 11 assists per game against Milwaukee, and he is here with us right now on NBA Today. Tyrese Halliburton, thank you so much for stopping by the show.
Thanks for having me.
Of course. So I just want to start here. We just got through a grueling 82-game regular season where you played in 69 of those games. You had an injury about halfway through the season. So I just want to check, going into the most important time of year, how are you feeling physically right now?
My body feels good. Over the last, few weeks, I've kind of felt like my body's kind of hit that second stride. It's funny because usually that kind of comes in the middle of the year, but I obviously dealt with injuries and trying to get back after All-Star break and trying to get my body right. So honestly, I feel really good, kind of, the best I've felt since, early in the year.
You're going into a series against the Milwaukee Bucks, and you told our very own Adrian Wojnarowski at the in-season tournament, or rather in Las Vegas when you were on his podcast earlier this season, you said that it's not quite a rivalry yet because you haven't played each other in the postseason. And now you're matching up in the first round of the playoffs. So once we get through this, can we start calling it that? Do you want to reevaluate that now?
I guess that's for the media to decide. I think these will be really highly competitive games. And obviously there's been a lot of, highly competitive games, this season. So just looking forward to competing against, a championship level team, a team that's done it before, and a great coaching staff. So just looking forward to competing against them.
One thing that's really interesting, I think, Tyrese, about this series, now knowing that Giannis Antetokounmpo is struggling with an injury of his own, not exactly knowing when he's going to be back yet, it could be easy to fall into the trap of looking ahead. How are you ensuring that that doesn't happen and that you stay focused here?
I think we just have been stressing, just taking this one day at a time, really. Just understanding, I've never been in the playoffs. A lot of dudes on our team have never been in the playoffs. We're a really young group. Obviously, Pascal's won a championship.
Yeah.
Miles has played in games. We got a lot of guys who just have never been there. So I think we're just trying to live in the moment, be in the moment, and understand this is like a day at a time.
I think sometimes, though, it can be daunting coming in against a championship battle-tested team in the first round. How much confidence do you have that you have what it takes to beat this group?
Yeah, I think, we're coming in a fully confident group. We really feel like we could play with anybody in the NBA. We felt that way all year. We've proven that all year. So, that's not going to change just because we're in the playoffs. For me, Wisconsin's home, so I'm going to feel comfortable being back home. And I think that's just exciting for everybody to compete against a team who, we've had some really competitive games with this year. So I think that's exciting for our group.
I wanted to ask you, you played in 69 games this season, but you told my colleague J.J. Redick that you felt like you pushed yourself a little bit to get back to meet the 65-game minimum so that you would be eligible for All-NBA. I think it might be a Herculean task to ask you to set aside the money for a second because that is such a huge piece of All-NBA. But what would it mean to you after the season that you've had to have it solidified as being voted as one of the best 15 players in the NBA, bar none?
Yeah, it would be really cool. it'd be really cool. I just think there's been obviously a progression for my career. Every year has kind of been a step up for me. Obviously, my rookie year and then getting traded and then, being an all-star starter, played FIBA World Cup, just got named the Olympic team. All these things have been happening that have really been milestones for me in my career, and being all NBA would go right alongside with that. It'd mean the world, for me to get recognized as that. But at the same time, I think that nothing means more than the respect that I get from my peers and other people in the league. So I think that, the love that and the votes that I was getting for All-Star really mean a ton, because that's just like love.
Huge week for you. It's been a huge season for you, but just this week getting ready for the postseason. But for the city itself, they're not only behind you all as you guys make this playoff push, but the number one pick, Caitlin Clark, she arrived this week to the Indiana Fever. You guys setting aside the Iowa State, what's the temperature been like at the city?
Yeah, I'm sure there will be a million jabs as time goes on. And we're both, here at Indy. She said something in her presser. I had something worse typed up in a tweet, but I was like, let me just show love. And she came right for me in her presser. So, I think that's pretty cool. But, I think being here in Indy, I just want Caitlin to be comfortable, want Caitlin to have success here. So I'm going to be here, for the long run, and want to see her succeed. And anything I can do to help her is important for me. And just look forward to seeing her grow and get better. And her and Aaliyah and Kelsey and, the group Fever have, just being able to take the Fever back to, where they were. So I'm excited to watch their growth. And
we'll just have to wait and see if it'll be in an Iowa jersey, if she can get you into it.
Put that on, not a million years.
Thank you so much, Tyrese, for stopping by NBA Today.
Appreciate you.
Always love when he joins us. Tomorrow night on ESPN and the app, the NBA play-in tournament, it rolls on. We have Bam Adebayo and the Heat hosting the Bulls. Coverage of this one begins at 6:30 with our NBA countdown crew. And then the game is at 7 Eastern, 6 Central. The winner goes on to the playoffs. Coming up, why there might be another big man rolling up to the Garden in this round. Let's just start calling him the mayor of New York already. Kendrick Perkins, we're talking about you. And the two-time All-Star Anthony Edwards, he's stopping by to tell us how he's feeling about going up against his GOAT, Kevin Durant, in the first round. Plus, Perk, he has some big expectations for Luka and Kyrie, but are they the best duo in the playoffs? That's interesting. That answer coming up.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Playoffs yet, it's the plan, but you can feel the difference. A 17-point turnaround here in the first half for Miami. Sixers back in the game. This one's turned into a slugfest. Embiid tries a three. Got it! Tie game! Nick Batum does it again! It's a Batum bonanza! Hero tries to answer, and he does! Back and forth they go here in the play-in game. 105 remaining. Backcourt violation. Embiid double. Finds Oubre. Oubre lays it up and in! Hero fires up, blocked by Batum. That'll do it. Sixers survive. Inspiring victory here in the play-in game.
Welcome back to NBA Today, presented by American Express.
The 76ers advance, so let's check out today's Driven performance brought to you by Duncan. Tim Legler, how will Embiid fare against the Knicks?
Malika, any limitations on Joel Embiid in the upcoming series against the New York Knicks remains to be seen. I think all of us are wondering what he's going to look like physically, but I'm going to show you a couple of things he presents and challenges he presents. if he is right and when he's playing at peak level. And here's a couple examples from this Heat game. And the first is when he gets direct ISO. And here's a problem right now for Miami. If you're going to allow Joel Embiid to operate in an area of the floor where he's got no other defender on that side of the court, meaning he doesn't have to worry about any traffic getting down in his lap. When he feels people coming down in his lap, that's when he's more prone to turnovers and he's a little bit more hesitant. He knows now he's got the whole side of the floor, so he's going to go ahead and he's going to operate one-on-one in the post. Here's the second part of this, why he's so challenging. If your double teams, when they come down, if you're not toe-to-toe with your teammate, as you can see right here, Jimmy Butler is not toe-to-toe. He presents a gap. Joel Embiid is too big, too strong. He's going to step through the gap, get into the paint, where he has a massive size advantage, despite the fact that there's five defenders down there. This is easy work for Joel Embiid. Again, is he right? You saw on that one even. Not a lot of lift at the end of it. The other area in which he's so unique is when he comes at you as a big man with a head of steam. And here he threw the ball ahead. When he gets this basketball back, he doesn't catch it, play with it at the three-point line. He immediately sees he's got a smaller defender in front of him. So he is going to get downhill and get into the paint and watch the chaos that this causes. Once he gets down there, how many players does it take to try to get down and stop him? Let's just count it. One, two, three, four, five guys in the paint trying to defend him. And at that point, he's got every option imaginable for a kick out to a shooter. In this case, he makes the right read to the opposite wing. This is what Joel Embiid is capable of doing, drawing five, making the game simple for your spot up shooters. He is a force to be reckoned with, the most dominant offensive player in the East, if he's right. Let's see if he is against the Knicks.
Tim, thank you as always. So the seventh-seeded 76ers, say that a couple times fast, are minus 110 to beat the Knicks in their series. It's the second shortest odds for a 7 or 8 seed in the playoff series in at least the last 35 seasons. The only team with shorter odds was the 2021 Lakers, who lost in round one to the Suns. So Austin is back with me, and look who decided to join us today. He is big time now. He is the honorary mayor of New York City, so he is setting his own schedule, what time he shows up to the show. But we get to start with you, Kendrick, honorary mayor of New York. Mm-hmm. Who is the better 1A? Yeah. Is it Jalen Brunson or is it Joel Embiid?
Oh, Jalen Brunson is a 1A now, huh? Well, I'll be damned.
Right,
what happened
Becky.
Over the
I'll
last couple months? No, I'm just saying, what yeah, happened over Becky. The last couple months for him to be able to call a 1A? I'm going to tell you what happened over the last couple months. Since the All-Star break, he's been the best player in the Eastern Conference. Since over the last 10 games, the man has been averaging over 37 points per game. When I think about Jalen Brunson and what he brings to the table, is he a game changer? Hell yeah. Is he a game manager? Hell yeah. But is he a leader? Yes, he is. And when it comes down to him leading the charge at the head of the snake, all the rest of the guys follow. So when I look at a guy like OG Anunoby, who's, by the way, back and healthy, back in the lineup, and we know how dangerous they are defensively when he's in the lineup. When I'm looking at a Joel Embiid, last night I'm watching him. He's struggling to get up and down the court. He's struggling with his lateral movement. And I love the breakdown by Tim Legler. He's the GOAT when it comes down to that iPad. But he showed clips against Miami. He didn't show clips against a Tom Thibodeau team that's going to be well prepared defensively and ready to go. That Knicks fan base is going to be fired up. The Garden is going to be rocking. Jalen Brunson has it on his mind. They know that they're the underdogs in this series. They know that they have been disrespected all season long. And damn it, he's going to come with it and the Knicks are coming with it. I got Jalen Brunson.
I mean, listen, Perk's not saying anything wrong just from the aspect of Jalen Brunson proving everybody wrong. Even we go back to his contract now, it looks like he's underpaid. This guy's a superstar. You know, Becky's comments about him obviously have not aged well. He is a 1A player. He is a player that can lead a team, as we've seen, averaging 37 points, you know, over the span of games in which he has. It's extremely impressive. If we're talking about this series, Perk, I'm okay with you saying Brunson due to the injuries of Joel Embiid, but let's not act like you would ever put Brunson over Joel Embiid ever if he was fully healthy. And even then, he played 38 minutes. He had 23 and 15. It was his first time playing that many minutes. He's going to be getting treatment today. He's going to be getting treatment tomorrow. He's going to be getting ready for this series. Joel Embiid is the best player in this series. He still is. Even with the career year that Jalen Brunson has had, no one had him in the MVP conversation, seriously. If we're talking top three at MVP voting, his name was not on that list, Pert. Joel Embiid was not only not on the list, he was number one when he was healthy. Now, I understand when he was healthy, but at the end of the day, he's playing. And I expect Joel Embiid to dominate. I expect him to still be the best player in this series. If he's going to play, then you are going to play. No one cares about the injuries. No one's going to use it as an excuse for him. When you play, you play. There's nobody on the floor better than Joel Embiid in this series. Nobody. Period.
Oh, Austin.
You know this.
Austin, did you watch? I don't know nothing. Did you watch the game last night?
Yes, you do.
Did you watch the game last night?
Huh?
Okay, did you watch the game?
I watched the game.
He
was laboring towards the fourth. Oh, yes, I saw it. I saw it.
He. Okay, so don't act like what we're all saying here is not a real thing when it comes down to his knee and his health. And in a couple of days, it's not going to magically get to where he's 100. That's why I'm not picking Joel Embiid. Because
that.
We know that he's
I
not.
I get that.
Austin, listen. Calm down. You turn to red. I'm just having a conversation with you. Here's the thing that I'm telling you.
If Joel Embiid
was 100%, yes, I would take Joel Embiid. If Joel Embiid was 90%, yes, I would take Joel Embiid. If Joel Embiid was 80%, yes, I will take Joel Embiid. Joel Embiid is nowhere close to that, Austin. He has zero dunks since returning from the injury. That means that his lift is not there. We know. You know this as well as I know this. You have been in the film room with Tom Thibodeau when you was wet behind the ears, like Stephen A. say, breath smeller like Similac, when you was in my locker saying, hey, Big Perk, Big Bro, what's going on? When you still in high school? You know what Tom Thibodeau do in that film room. You know that he's going to have those guys ready. You know that Joel Embiid has to be at his best to be able to match the physicality of what Hardenstein and Mitchell Robinson is going to bring to the table. That's why I'm picking Jalen Brunson.
I think you guys are actually saying the same thing in a roundabout way. That's why Austin said, yeah.
All right, bet.
But, Perk, you were saying you missed the A block, so we, Austin and I, have talked about. You said it earlier this season that you didn't think that Joel Embiid should come back at all. And Lisa Salter said yesterday he told her he feels 70 to 80%. So now that you've seen what 70 to 80% looks like in just a play-in game, do you agree with, do you still stand on that sentiment? Or do you think that he should have come back?
I've seen him buckle twice. One time he had to leave the game. And look, this is my thing. Come back to do what? The reason that I'm saying this is you want Joel Embiid at his best, right? When I look at the Philadelphia 76ers in the Eastern Conference, it's time for them to really make some noise. And when I say make some noise, conference finals at the bare minimum. They're not getting to the conference finals with Joel Embiid looking the way he looked. He's going to get to the free throw line. He's going to get his shot attempts from the mid-range because he has a guy like Tyrese Maxey to set the table, and he has mastered the mid-range shot. But in order to get where they're really trying to go, you need Joel Embiid 100.
Absolutely.
So I still stand on what I stand.
Well, he needs to be 100, particularly in this series, because who leads the league in floaters, right? Brunson leads the league in floaters. He's second in the league in drives. And so when Joel Embiid is standing in the paint and is healthy and is able to defend that, that's one thing. The concern now is that Brunson's going to have a wide open lane to attack and is going to be able to take advantage of that. But when it all comes down to it, yes, what's up, Austin?
Who guarding Joel Embiid even at 70%? He says he's 70. We'll call it 60. Who guarding him? You'll put Hardenstein on him?
Probably.
Dear God.
Probably so.
And
it's a team defense. Don't act like you don't know, Austin, that the game is built on boxes.
I play for Tibbs.
It's time to pick this game.
I play for Tibbs.
All right.
Malika, okay. Real quick. Let me say this.
Uh-huh.
When two men disagree, the next word, bet.
All right.
Bet. You taking the Sixers?
Well, that's what we're going to discover right now because it's time for Setting the Pick, brought to you by ESPN Bet. As Perk says, the next word should be the official sports book of ESPN. It's all going down in the Mecca. You guys are both predicting that the Knicks are going to take this in six. So, at least we have some agreement there. The Knicks in six. So, that's what we got. The question is, who are you taking? Download the ESPN Bet app to get started. New customers receive $100 in bonus bets once they place their first sportsbook bet with ESPN Bet. You guys crack me up. Coming up on NBA Today, he's the highlight machine. Anthony Edwards, he's joining us. We're going to talk about the Wolves, Team USA, his top plays of the year, all of that coming up next.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Birth of an NBA superstar.
88 version of Michael Jordan.
He is box office.
I mean, they're not wrong.
Edwards gets hit.
That's my best knock of my career, I'm not going to lie.
The first 50 piece.
I got the highest confidence in the world.
I don't think anybody can stop us right now.
He is coming off the best season of his career, and he's joining us now, the two-time All-Star Anthony Edwards. Thank you, as always, for stopping by NBA Today.
Appreciate y'all for having me.
Of course. It's a busy time of year for you. On top of the playoffs approaching, being named to the Olympic team. Congratulations, by the way. Sprite also reimagining its 1994 Obey Your Thirst campaign. Pretty iconic. You're front and center. Tell us a little bit more about that to start.
It's a big deal, man, you know, to bring it back, bring the Obey Your Thirst campaign back, you know, and with Grant Hill, doing it with Grant Hill. So who originated it? It's a big deal, man. I'm happy to be in it.
It's a lot of fun to watch you in it as well. Let's get to the court because the playoffs are here. You're the number three seed in the West. The race for those top spots, it literally came down to the last day. How much do you take from that final game of the season against Phoenix that you're going to apply in this first round?
The last three matchups against Phoenix, they beat us to the ground. So
right.
we got to come out and establish some physicality. You know, just trying to be tough, let them know that we ain't gonna get pumped the whole series. So we just gotta come out and establish that.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned it. The Suns, they gave you, I wasn't gonna say punked, I was gonna say a little bit of trouble, but sure, we can go with punked during the regular season. What do you want to show personally in this matchup?
That the double team really can't stop me. That's the whole goal, because they've been doing a great job of putting two and three people on me, and I've been letting it bother me and stop me from being aggressive and getting my shots up. So I got to show that it doesn't bother me.
We have a friend of yours here, a former teammate of yours as well, Austin Rivers, who I know has a question for you about this matchup as well.
Yeah, what's up,
my
guy? You know, hey, bro, we're slowly getting that name off the books, bro. I don't need that
dropped
back. You know what I mean? Yeah, this is business. You know, this series intrigues me more than any other. You're going against Devin, and this is a guy who people regard as the best two guard in the NBA, and you've always been the guy who's right behind him. Is this a series where you look to take that step? Do you believe you're the best two guard in the NBA?
Yeah, for sure. I think this is the matchup that I wanted personally because, you know, they got two of the best two guards in the NBA. Like, before Brad went there, he was with Washington, and he was averaging 30. And Book been the best two guard in the league for a minute. So, this is the series, the matchup that I wanted to showcase to the world that I'm the best player and the best two guard in the world.
Well, it's not just you and Book,
love
though,
that.
And I love that, too. When we sat down over All-Star Weekend, you reminded me that Kevin Durant is, in fact, your GOAT. So how do you square the task with he's your greatest of all time and you need to send him home in order to advance this postseason?
So now that I know those two guys will be playing alongside of me at the USA, at the Olympics, I mean, it's kind of bragging rights at this point. So, I mean, that's as much ammo as I need.
all the bragging rights on the line. How far do you think your Timberwolves can go this year now that you know your playoff path and you know Karl-Anthony Towns is back?
I think we can go real far, man. It's just this series right here. We got to get this series right here because they've been a tough task for us the entire season. So we come out and punch them in the mouth and get this series and get it going, get it under control, and, you know, keep it in our hands. We'll be all right.
Before we move on from the NBA, that nickname for Austin one more time, I might need to invoke it a little bit here on set.
Macaroni Tony.
That, yep, we're going to font you like that on every show from here on out, Austin. That's how we're rolling from here on out. When you think about where you're at, Ant, in your career and how far you can go, what percentage do you think you're at between where you're at now and your best that you could possibly be?
I'm probably at like 40% right now.
40%, that's it.
Yeah, for sure. I'm just in year four, man. I think people forget that I'm 22. Like, I'm not even touching my prime yet. I'm just 22 in year four. Still trying to figure out, like, my spots and where I like to go and what side of the court I like to be on. I still ain't figured that out yet. But, yeah, I feel like I'm just about, like, 40%.
I think, you know, we're 2-3 years away from you being the best basketball player in the NBA. I'm going to make sure it is, too, because I'm going to stay on you. And we going to get them for ones sure. In the summer, too.
Two or three years away.
You're trying to beat me again.
Is that a prophecy that you're willing to take him up on? 2 or 3 years, you're going to be the best player in the NBA, Ant?
Yeah, I 100% Absolutely. Agree with him for sure. About 2 or 3 years, yeah.
2 or 3 years. All right. Well, you mentioned the defensive highlights that he's had already this season. Your season was packed, really, with just electric moments. We want to run back some of our favorites. Have you walk us through them. Austin, you're going to lead the way here. It's time for a little Top of the Top brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. And it's all about Anthony Edwards. The self-alley-oop against the Grizzlies. I mean, at this point, what was going through your mind? Whew.
I mean, pretty much. Once I did the between, I see he didn't really bite. So I was like, I'm just gonna shoot it. And once I went to my shot, I seen he jump. And I had nobody to throw it to. I was like, well, I'm just about to throw it off the glass and try to catch it. I don't know what made me do it. But well,
and then there's this one. Ooh.
Oh my goodness. This is slept on dunk, by the way. This is slept on dunk. People don't talk about this. You threw that in and you climbed
down. Yeah, I'm not gonna lie, that was nasty. Yeah, that was nasty.
How many times have you watched it back?
I watched this dunk a lot. This is probably my second favorite after one from Utah. Like Austin said, people sleep on that dunk.
Well, what about this against the Pistons? Oh, put him on a flight, as Mark Jones would say, like an ice.
Yeah, that's
just footwork. See, that right there, that's AR, bag work.
Yeah, that's just, yeah. Hey, y'all see me work on that all day. Every day I'm in the gym, I work on that.
How do you keep your pivot foot down for that? Like, 1, 2, 3, 4. Oof.
I don't know. Man,
that's just good patience, man. That's what an elite score looks like.
He hit us with the MJ shrug. All right, and then there's the block. Like, this to me is my favorite play of the season for you.
That's what I'm talking about.
Because it sealed the game. You weren't afraid of going up. I mean, what? Take me
through
that.
How many guards do you have that can actually go up there and get that?
Not many. Ant's just staring there, watching it back, not even commentary for it.
I mean, right now, thinking about it right now, I'm just mad I missed the free throw because I put myself in that situation.
Well, but we had to bring this.
Have you called John to check on him?
Nah, I think we need to sit down and talk, though.
Well, his nickname was John the Baptist up until this point, and then you performed the baptism here.
Hey, I'm not going to lie. He was waiting on me in the paint, though.
So maybe the sit-down conversation, Austin, is something we need to facilitate. I mean, you're dunking all over the place. Nice. You are an all-star this year, just named to the Olympic team. You say you're only at 40%. When you look ahead to the next, when you're only 4 years in, when you're 10 years in, what are you going to have under your belt? What is successful? What is synonymous with success for you?
I mean, I don't know. I'm not going to sit up here and speak on something that I don't know. But I will say that it's going to be scary and it's going to be a lot of trouble. Like 10 years in the NBA, that means I found out everything that I needed to know. I found out my shots, my spots. My shot is way more consistent. I'm way more efficient. That's the only thing. I'm just trying to get more efficient as every year go by. That's the main goal.
Ant, thank you, as always, for stopping by NBA Today and for giving us the gift, really, of Pepperoni Tony. We're going to be using that from
Macaroni. Macaroni
Tony.
Hey, You know what? Just for you saying that, Malika, you're disqualified.
Yeah, you can't call him back.
Then, you know what? I'm just going to back out slowly. Gentlemen, thank you so very much. Oh, man. I am out of pocket. The NBA playoffs begin Saturday afternoon, and we'll have a quadruple header of game ones for you on ESPN, ABC, and the app. We start at 1 Eastern, the Magic, the Cavs, and then the Suns take on the Timberwolves. Thanks again, Ant, for stopping by. The 76ers and Knicks, and then over on ABC, we have the nightcap, the Lakers, and the reigning champs, the Denver Nuggets. And speaking of the Lakers, what chances do our experts give them at making it a series against the champs? You're not going to want to miss this. That's next on NBA Today.
Presented by the powerful backing of American Express.
We are less than 48 hours from the start of the 2024 NBA playoffs. We're going to do a quick round of chop it or drop it. So, Macaroni, I'm going to throw you out a topic. And if you want to chop it, you say chop it. If you want to drop it, you're going to drop it. All right? We're going to start with Luka Doncic against the Clippers. Will he finally be able to beat them in a series? Remember, he's 0 for 2 against them in his career, even though he puts up incredible numbers against Los Angeles. Perk, do you want to chop it or drop it?
I want to chop it. And the answer is yes, yes, yes. He will finally win the series against the Clippers. Why is he 0-2, Malika? Because of Kawhi Leonard. Has Kawhi Leonard been healthy? He hasn't been around. Has he been practicing? No. I'm going with the for show and steady some more. I'm going with Luka and Kyrie and the Mavs.
I like that, for show and steady some more. Well, and he has a running mate now in Kyrie Irving, who's been playing incredible basketball. All right, Austin, let's go to the Lakers and the Nuggets, because they're running it back from last year's West Finals. So the Lakers, can they make this a series if they do what?
Let's chop it up. They absolutely can make this a series. Let's not forget last year when they met up, it was in the conference finals. The Lakers had exerted every ounce of energy that they had. They met them late. The Nuggets were sitting there waiting for them after running through the entire Western Conference. The Lakers had to put everything even to the last bit of that regular season to even get in. This is the first round. We're right here. They're fresh. I also think the Nuggets are a little bit more vulnerable considering they don't have the same exact team as they had last year. They're still my favorite. I still think they're going to win this series. Make no mistake about it. I still think Denver's going back to the finals. But this will be a ball game, and this will be a ball series, if that makes sense. This is going to be competitive, and every game is going to be close. There might be a couple games, but yeah, a ball series. I just made something up. That's just what I do.
All right, a ball series.
Yeah, it's going to be competitive.
Do you think it's going to be a ball series, Kendrick?
It is. This is the first time in his career, and I'm talking about LeBron James, where he has zero expectations and zero pressure. When it comes down to LeBron and the Lakers, they're walking into the series underdog. No one is believing in them. That's some dangerous territory to be messing with.
Well, they're going to have to pick a game
Malika,
off of them early. Yeah.
I got the hosting show real quick.
Okay.
So this is what Malika does when no one is in studio.
No, don't
when you're
put
in studio
this video
by
up.
Yourself.
Don't put this video on camera.
This is what you're doing yoga?
This is not for public consumption,
Austin,
Kendrick.
Myself, Richard, Zach, we're not in studio. You're doing yoga? This is what you're doing right
Kirk,
now, Malika?
Can you do a back bend? What about you, Matt?
I can't.
That's going to do it.